where, do you know where the father, is the father on his way? Or is he here?
He's supposed to be driving down.
You got a cell phone?
I got a cell phone.
I want you to call him this morning and just see. I don't go with your sisters, but just go with the father. Okay?
They would have more likely have.
Well, I know, but let him do it. Let him call the sisters. Because they were thought, unless you know more than I do, but there was some pretty bad estrangement there.
I talked to her yesterday. There was no indication at this time.
Okay, well, you know, whatever you, I just thought, you've had more contact there, so whatever.
Got it. I'll stick crap
I'll
here.
About that.
Also, we need, the way that place is, it's, you have to go over here and around back. And
uh-huh. You have to go around this way.
Yeah.
You
got
to go down east side to get here.
So, what we probably have to have is some, about two or three big sign thingies.
Oh, you point the way?
Yeah.
Can somebody be responsible for those? Actually, normally I'd say Harry would get maybe responsible for something here. Huh? Yeah, but it will forget that. I'm just doing things I'm thinking of now. Okay. All righty. I don't feel like teaching this morning. I think there's some more talking that needs to be done. Scott, you've been distant.
No, I've been right from the center. I just don't have the verbal response other than my visits to the library. I'm discussing the memory today. I just woke up. It was the same with my message in the early class center after some time goes by.
Understand that that's why you have to talk about it?
Well, yeah, but...
I don't want to force you to
anything. I'm not talking about it.
Okay.
Nothing has clicked. I didn't even time around to unload it. I did have spent some time in the way you designed yesterday and they were helping Mike get scrubs out for Plano. So we took a road trip up there. Prior to that,
the only thing that I saw was last night and then today, there was, you know, this vacuous look on your face. And that, to me, in our relationship over however long it's been, every time you've had that vacuous look on your face, then understand
I'm
it.
I'm not a person of a lot of words.
But you keep defining yourself. Let the Holy Spirit define you. You've got to stop having this definition. The point of it is, the things that you just said this morning, if you hadn't said them, would have robbed us. And it's not that one of the biggest, one of the things that just drives me up a tree is when people tell me, well, I'm just not that kind of person. That's not what spiritual matters are about. No person is a kind of person that wants to be vulnerable. Being vulnerable is an act of discipleship.
Well, sometimes for me,
But that's not vulnerability to God. Vulnerability to God is exposing yourself to the body. And that's the mystery. That's where all of life takes place. And I'm not just saying this to you alone, it's to everyone. That we hide behind, well, this is the kind of person I am. But that's not true, because there's all kinds of things going on within you, and whatever it is, it doesn't matter whether it's, well, I don't have anything to say, and I feel like I should, or I'm hurting inside, or I don't think what I have to say is worth anything, or whatever it is, we are called above all things, my brethren, to prophesy, to let forth what's in there out. And because you don't do this for your benefit. You do this for the benefit of the mystery and for the benefit of the Father. And so the internalizing, and I'm not, believe me, I'm not just saying this to you. The whatever it is, you know, the not saying anything, the sort of just observing and letting it go on, you might as well be robbing the spiritual bank of heaven with a gun. Because whatever it is, even the act of saying, I don't have anything to say, which you just did, it brought out all kinds of stuff. So you don't ever, if you're going to be a disciple, you cannot hide behind, well, that's the kind of person I am. That's gone forever. The kind of person you are is one who is totally vulnerable, abandoned, disciplined, and willing to lay your life down, which includes laying the right to have your own essence to the body. I'm sick unto, and this isn't to you, this is to everybody. I am sick unto death of having this body of people sit there like a wart on the ass of the whore of Babylon, silent. I know that you cannot hear these things without having an internal reaction. This isn't some lab course where you come and learn stuff from me. That's not what discipleship is about. This is a place for you to die. This is a place for you to lay down the right to yourself. This is a place where you share whatever it is that's going on within you. Many times you don't feel like sharing. But if you're going to operate in how you feel, you're in the wrong place. Is that clear to everybody? Clear, Darlene? You spent, I'll pick on you now. You spent years and years and years sitting in silence, afraid of people's response to you. The time is gone. His death causes that to be gone. You are no more a respecter of persons. You are no more living within your side yourself, in your own little dreams and realms and domains. You're no more sitting there silent. It's not acceptable any longer. It goes for Bojo. It goes for all of you. Oh, but that's just not the kind of person I am. Fuck you. What do you think the kind of person I am is? You think this is the kind of person I am? No, I just like to make people mad at me. No, I don't. But I know what this body needs. And what this body needs is prophecy and zeal. And I'm sick unto death of the lukewarm, oh, blah, 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 blah. Because you hide behind the facade. You hide behind this, whatever it is. I don't really care what kind of person you are. That went out the window. That should have died at Pentecost under the water. What I care now is that you're a disciple. Now, does anybody have any response?
And the person we are is the one who's dead and buried.
The person you are is the son of the serpent. If that's what you want to continue to be, go ahead and do it. So, some transaction just occurred. Did I offend you? Did I scare you? Or are you going to sit there again like a bump on the log?
Well, I'll say, no, that doesn't affect me. And the seed thing affects me in a weird way. I've been focusing in on a lot of myself with this kind of
sick.
Sick, absolutely sick. And I want to expose that.
That's what a whole lot of people are doing about his death causes you to think. Well, fuck you. What do you think? Steve died for you?
Exactly. But I identified with the stuff that you said yesterday. Last night helped me a little bit, I think, but also pissed me off. I don't even know why. But I never really.
What did I say that pissed you off?
Because I just felt the things. I felt myself rising up inside about. I mean, I identify with. I'm embarrassed to even say it, but I identify with the hopeless and just get serious here in the last couple months. And I don't know. It just rose up. It rose up in a different form.
Goes up in anger.
Yeah, anger, really anger.
That's the best possible thing you could have shared there.
Well, I'm trying to.
No, I mean, that wouldn't happen. Delayed obedience is not obedience. Delayed prophecy is no longer prophecy. But go ahead, now that I've interrupted you again.
But, you know, one of the things is identified with Scott or something is that. I understand what you're saying about everything about the prophecy and being obedient, but is it, help me if I'm wrong. When you're absorbing this stuff, you know, you got the feeling, you don't even know really what you're feeling at that moment. I didn't even, when you even asked me last night when I was walking, I wanted to get in touch with it, but it was like, I don't know. It's like my mind is just blank. It's just racing. It's all
then,
different
then,
stuff.
Then what you do, don't you understand? What you do is you open your mouth.
Yes, I do that a lot. And sometimes I feel like... Sometimes I feel like I don't need to do that. You know, I'm in a conflict with this right now.
Can I tell you how many times you've used I in the last sentence?
Battling spirit, stuff like that, you know, that's been, you know, when you need to be silent.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you'll be told when you need to be silent, if it's in the body. If what you said is inappropriate or it's the wrong time, if the order of the spirit is going on, you'll be gently rebuked and said, wait a minute. But 99% of the time, here's the key. Here's the biggest key, and if you can hear this, you can understand. There is nothing that I can say that can teach you anything. The Holy Spirit has already taught you all things. The only thing I can do is be a witness to that and to cause you to get sufficiently pissed off at me to start arguing or to get mad or to say something. There's nothing you can learn from me. Go to 2 John. Chapter 2. Listen where this thing is. Little children, in verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. In other words, the only time someone would go out is if they thought either they were being taught... I won't believe it. You've got to see. I can't teach you anything. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, the problem is this. And so if you base your discipleship and your activities on your mind, then you're lost. All you are is being a faithful servant to the whore of Babylon. And you will continue in this state of being, you know, up and down, and you'll get seduced for a little while, and then you'll get depressed, and then you'll get this, and then you'll get that.
Yeah.
I can tell you one thing. I have not learned one thing since the day I became a believer. About him. And I, because of that, I know that he's revealed in different ways, but I know that I can't teach you and you cannot learn anything about him, for you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. The only thing that's the only problem, the only reason I seem to know things is because I just let it all out. I don't sit there in introspection. Well, this is what I think and as I say, keep saying I think and I think, I get bigger and bigger and bigger, and he gets smaller and smaller and smaller. That's the world. That's where you were. That's the way you were in the world. In the world, I was a nice guy. I was a politician. I would never do what I did this morning to you. I would never put you publicly into an either-or position. My God in heaven, if Steve's death hasn't woken you up, if you want to continue on the course that you've been on, fine. But don't waste my time. Now, does anybody have any response? Excuse me, I interrupted you. What you were going to say was inappropriate at the time.
Yeah.
I just love to do that.
Our minds always want to take whatever we hear and try to do it.
Well, no, we try to integrate it into our system. Maybe not.
And I remember the part of the message that I knew with everything in me was true was the idea there weren't these rules anymore, you know. It's just seeing and living and speaking and not always being concerned about how it looks and the risk of that. We, you know, talking of the risk of that. That's what everybody freaks out about.
No, I mean, this is one that's poor little mousy little thing that, you know, if I looked at her, she'd cry. Now look at her. Because she stopped thinking about it. She just was.
The kind of person we really are in Christ is being betrayed and covered up by our mind.
Amen.
So it's like it's reversed. We think it's the way that the kind of person we really are is, that's who we are.
What you're trying to protect is the golem, don't you understand? You're trying to protect this fake identity that's been masquerading as you your whole life. And boy, you will kill to protect it. You will run to protect it. You'll do anything and everything to protect this safe, little, comfortable golem that you've created. You just keep changing the clay around a little bit. And then I want to explode the clay. Don't you understand? That's my job. But it's also your job. Exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Now, does anybody have a response?
I do.
Then don't act like it anymore.
If we don't open up, then we are like everybody else. And then everything that we claim that we're about and talk about is really just empty words. It's conversation. If we just want what everybody else wants, and there's no real change in our heart, it just makes the whole place stupid.
Anybody else?
The thing that has affected me through this is, you know, Wade called me, initially, when this happened, you know. And, well, Gwen can attest, you know, I just wailed. You know, he thought, I thought there was a cat that had, you know, torturing a cat or something in the room, and he got dressed and came out and everything. But, you know, what I think has even been harder is Johnny and Becca and people who were even closer to Steve than I was. You know, that they've really lost. You know, somebody that they hung out with. You know. That they really had a friendship with. And I know Gary and Judy, you know, she was in her house almost every day, you know. And the kids, just the little things. I mean, you know, John and Steve traded videotapes and, you know, all the time. And then they would go to Becca's, and, you know, it was like this whole little chain of things. And they'd go to concerts together. And
I told Johnny last night that I didn't see him in the background. I talked about him. Where was he? He's hiding in your bedroom.
He was
sitting
in the back.
He was sitting in the hall, but occasionally he would go in the back and then he'd come back and sit down again.
He went in the back to cry.
I told him that that Steve's dreams and ambitions were fulfilled through him, and that that Steve wasn't haunted anymore by many of the things that he thought he should be doing because he saw Johnny fulfill them. Johnny lost it when I told him that. We had one of our members die, commit suicide, Sunday night. And so we'll be just talking about that in minutes. And then I've been chewing out people for being silent.
I was a little offended by the wart on the butt of the horror film.
Did you hear what Johnny and Wade and Brian did? They went down there and cleaned up. I thought that was so cool. And they felt that their friends, it was their obligation and privilege to go down there and kind of take care of the city.
Great. I haven't talked to Victor.
He found about it yesterday.
I haven't talked to him. Somebody ought to talk to him today.
Are you
going to
talk to
him? If I get a chance, I've got to go to the pain clinic. We got to leave right now, in fact. Do you have the poem that you talked about? Or is it just the line that you remembered about?
It's
two gentlemen. It's a whole book? Is that one? That's one poem?
Yes.
Because I'd like to read it.
Okay.
All right. Well, I was just slightly a little bit hard on you this morning. So, who said yes? I was.
And here it echoed.
Because you're feeling it.
You can put your body on that.
Dr. Juan Boho and I have to be on the road, so odd deals. Okay.
Oh, by the way, Ronnie called last night.
Is he going to be able to come?
I got